Well, it's good to talk about here now and new, and what God is doing at Heritage. And I hope you are as excited. And you know, just this week we've lost three members through death, and we're grieved over that. But the excitement about the potential new members God is bringing here, and even some of our own who'd moved off, who've moved back. So all of those things are exciting for us, and the momentum we have right now as a church is exciting. Well, last week we were had left Paul in the midst of a storm. If you'll remember, they had set out, and the wind was against them, and they were just making really slow time on their journey to try to get to Rome. And, you know, again, in those ancient times, the way those boats were powered were either by paddling or by the wind. And when the wind was against you, it made it difficult. And so they'd been fighting this wind. Paul suggested that they stay where they're at their last stop. And remember, the captain and the other ship leaders decided that they should go on. And so the centurion listened to them, the professional sailors. And they went on, and then the storm along the after they had left the shore of Crete came, and it literally says winds with hurricane force began to plummet and that little boat, pulling it apart and driving it along. And as we talked last time, any sails that they had up would be shredded and pulled away from the pole. It seems like, as you read it, that some of the mast fell off, was broken off. They threw a bunch of stuff overboard, and then several days later, the third day, they threw even the ship's tackle and stuff overboard, and that probably meant that the mast had broken. And they're at the mercy of the storm. There's nothing they can do to direct their path. And they're just pushed wherever the storm takes them. And so that's where they were. And we ended with these last two verses, verse 19 and 20. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging, and they finally gave up all hope of being saved. So the storm has been going on for days. It's such that they can't even see the sun or the stars at night. There's no way they can navigate. There's no way they can control where they're going. They're just being pushed along by the storm, and now the ship's equipment has been destroyed, so they just throw it over with their own hands, and that's kind of a sign that they've given up, and they've despair has begun to sit in. Now, I mentioned last week, it is interesting, though, that he uses this phrase, they'd given up the hope of being saved. And there are several different words for being saved, that you can talk about being saved from the storm, and this is one of them. But this is also the word that we use to talk about being saved from sin and being saved from death and hell and the coming to salvation. And so so it's that idea that they've given up a hope that they could be saved. And so now here they are in the boat being pushed along, having given up hope for being saved. And so that brings us then to this next part, verse 21. And after the men had gone a long time without food, so now time is passing And it's so bad on the storm, even these experienced sailors don't want to eat because they're being tossed all around and rocked all around. We've been on enough cruise boats, and there have been once or twice that it's gotten a little more rocky than even normal. And you'll notice in different people, just a little bit bothers some people, but the crew, they're used to it. They just walk, and, you know, even in the dining rooms, you see them with the boat doing that. You see them able not to lose a plate or a glass or anything. But this has gotten so bad that even this experienced crew doesn't want to eat. They don't want to. It's too bad. So they've gone now for days without food, without control of the boat, just being tossed around. And Paul stood up before them and he said, "Men, you should have taken my advice and not sailed from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss." So he starts by saying, "I told you." You didn't want to listen. God told me. I told you. You didn't pay attention. Now, there's a lot of pastors that could make a lot out of that. God told me. I told you. You didn't pay attention. And we feel that way sometimes. But we don't often tell you. I told you so. But Paul says, "I told you so," but then listen to what he says. "But now, I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood before me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" So here they are. They've actually, by most accounts, have been in this storm for about 13 days. Because the next verse is going to say on the 14th night. So they've been in it for 2 weeks. They've been in this storm. And Paul starts by saying, "I told you so." But then he says, "But don't give up. Have hope. Because my God sent an angel to tell me that it's his will that I stand before Caesar. That's what we've been working toward. That's why I was on this boat to begin with. And he says, I'm going to do that. So I know it's going to be okay because he promised me. And he graciously gave you, and it's going to save you, because I'm here with you." Now, the word grace is the same word we usually use. Now, there's several different ways that Luke could have said that, but it's the same word we use for God's grace in salvation for us. So it's interesting that Luke has taken this storm and the need for all these men, because they're all pagans, remember? Everybody that's outside of Paul's party is probably most likely a pagan. Worships the gods of Greece or the gods of Rome or something else. But yet here he uses that word that you can be saved, and it's by God's grace that you'll be saved. And, of course, I think that's setting Paul up to do what? To witness to them about not only their physical salvation, but a spiritual salvation that can also only take place because of God's grace. And so Luke kind of paints that picture for them. And so Paul, again, just just shares this vision of an angel and says, keep up your courage, have faith in God, it'll happen, just like he told me. But in order to save us, he's going to run us aground on an island. And so that's the, but again, right then, they're just being tossed anywhere the storm wants to take them. And so that again, most people think this is day 13, day 14, the next day. On the 14th day, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. Now, the NIV translates that as the Adriatic Sea. That is not our modern Adriatic Sea. What the Greek literally says is the Sea of Adria. And in ancient history, there was a bay there called the Bay of Adria. And it's part of what we call the Ionian Sea, which is there between, I've got it written down on this next page. It's there between the Gulf of Adria, and it's there in the Ionian Sea, which is the part of the Mediterranean that is between Greece and Italy. And so he's pushed them down to there. And so they've gone from Crete, and now they're being pushed down to where they're going to crash on Malta. That is 475 miles they've been driven and tossed around in this storm. 475 miles from Cadia, where they left, to Malta, where they will land. So on the 14th night, verse 27, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed that we were approaching land. And they took soundings and found the water was 120 feet deep. And a short time later they took soundings again and found it to be 90 feet deep, which means what? They're getting close to shore. And fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Again, what a picture of lostness. That you're in the storm, it's still raging, you're afraid you're going to be crashed on the rocks. And all you can do, you're in the night, all you can do is pray for the day to come, for the light to come. And they're praying for daylight. And then verse 30, in an attempt to escape from the ship, remember what Paul said? We've got to run aground on the island. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let a lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. And then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. And so the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. So now the sailors are plotting to try to escape and get to shore and leave them all on the boat. And so Paul tells the centurion what's happening. And maybe a little drastically, he just cuts the lines holding the lifeboat and it falls into the sea. Now they don't have their lifeboat. And so the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. And then verse 33, just before dawn, Paul urged them to eat. For the last 14 days, he says, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And so then he's going to pray and they're going to eat together. And the day has come. And now they'll be able to see what's going on. So we'll pick up there. We got through most of the storm. We made 475 miles. So And we'll pick up there back with verse 33 next Wednesday night. Any questions or comments?
I just think it's interesting, a couple of verses later, it tells you how many people were on the boat, and that's amazing. There were 276 persons on the ship.
Right.
You know, I didn't realize at first there were that many.
Yeah, it was a big boat. Remember, it's the big sea vessel. Remember, their first boat had been that little coaster that stayed right there by the island. But, you know, you've got the centurion, you've got his men, you've got all of their prisoners that they're transporting. You got the sailors, and then you have other people. And so, and to not lose one of them is what Paul has promised.
Wow.
All right.
It's a picture of just of desperation. When Paul got on the boat at first, he was in the security of the centurion, and the captain had the voice, and the centurion had the voice, and he was just a supporting character. Now, Paul, in the middle of desperation, people are searching for hope, they're searching for salvation, they're searching for land, and Paul is leading the ship.
That's right.
And it's kind of a picture of what happens today, where we as people of light, when things get dark, the lost will seek you out.
Yeah, when everything's smooth, they don't want you or need you. But the minute that trial and trouble come, you know, and you've heard me talk about my dad before, the guys that worked with us since he ran the back of the print shop, that they would make fun of him and his religion and how he acted. But the moment one of them got in trouble, he was the first person they went to ask advice and to pray with. And so that's what we see here. That's very good, Neil. And and aren't we in our society on a boat in the middle of a storm? And doesn't it need men of God and women of God to stand up and say, there's still hope. This is where you find it. That's what we're doing October the 2nd, is trying to tell our community there's still hope. That's what we're about as a church, is sharing there's still hope. All right, well, let's pray together. Brother Frederick, would you lead us as we pray?
Father God, we thank you now for your word tonight. We thank you for our pastor teaching us tonight, Father. Father God, we pray as we leave tonight, let us be as Paul, even in the midst of a storm. He has kept his faith. And Father God, he is witnessing and he is ministering to the people. And he's encouraging them, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of him being on trial. Father God, we too is in the midst of a storm. What's going on in our world and in our city, Father. Let us be like Paul, and let us be faithful in the midst of all that is going on, and let us encourage people, and let us give people hope by telling them that Jesus loves them and that he will save them. Father, we pray as we leave here tonight that you would give us safe passage to our destination until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.